This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
To the Bridge Zone, you're at the table with Barry and Mariana, and we also have Chair of NZ Bridge, Alan Morris. G'day, how you going?
Doing well, thank you, Mariana. Nice to be here, and congratulations this week on a milestone, 300. You should celebrate. It's a great effort. I'm not quite sure how the two of you have managed to live together for that long, longer than a marriage.
Yes, it is.
Well done.
Thank you.
I guess first on the list is the new venue for Congress next year in Palmerston North. A lot of hard work and heartache gone into selecting that, no doubt.
Yeah, the team led by Bridget did a lot of work. So we looked at a large number of premises. They were either not ideal in terms of the setup or the cost was exorbitant. Some required us to buy all of our meals and everything, which just became prohibitive. We were excited when we went to Palmerston North. It's a venue that's very close to the square. We have the whole venue. It's viable economically. I'll give you an example. Most places were requiring at least $9,000 a day. And this one is circa $2,000 a day.
Wow.
Yes, it looks pretty good online.
Look, it's lovely. It's close to the square. It's close to restaurants. It's close to accommodation. We have free parking for everybody who happens to have a vehicle there. There's a bar. We're pretty excited. I'm sure there'll be cynics about Palmerston North. I think it'll be great. I really do.
I guess the same people that complained about Hamilton will complain about Palmerston North. But anyway.
Oh, they're playing at Hamilton. They complain about the Mount Maunganui. You do what you think is the best. The other thing that we did look at was the change in the date away out of the school holidays. And that was primarily to facilitate cost for people trying to travel on school holidays when the price of airfares all went up, but also around the venue availability and everything else. Now, there will be some school teachers, which it doesn't work for well. We can't run this just around a few people, I'm afraid.
I don't know how many school teachers they bridge, and I'm sure you don't have the stats either. Yeah, I have heard a few grizzles about the date, even talking about caddies who'll be sitting NCA exams and things at that time of year.
Yeah, we've talked about caddies and the team's confident that they can get caddies together. They might not be all students, but we'll get caddies together.
There'd be an extra cost as well for the Australians, yeah?
Well, they had a cost anyway. They'd either have to go to Hamilton or they had to go to the Mount Maunganui, so there was a cost. They can fly into Palmerston North. They could fly into Wellington and catch a bus or catch a train. Overall, it's not going to add a lot to them. And also, one would hope that the accommodation in non-metropolitan areas would be a little bit cheaper.
Sure. So there'd be a bit of savings there, even if they have to drive or get a flight or whatever to Palmy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there'll be a trade-off there. Flying into Palmerston North, thereafter, you don't need transport. If you're staying close to the venue, if you want to hire a car, that's great. Part of what you're trying to achieve is trying to get the community together after Bridge. Their ability to kind of celebrate and share hands and do all of that sort of stuff, which Palmerston North will allow that to happen.
Yeah. Now, speaking of accommodation, is there plenty of accommodation sort of walking distance?
Yep.
Yes, there is.
There are three or four hotels. There's
Popthorne, motels, very close.
Yeah, motels down that road, whatever it's called, the one that goes out towards Massey.
Herbert, yep.
And then there'll be those who will take Airbnb. And you can Uber or whatever you want to do.
I know when we changed venues last time, there was a concern that whenever you change venues, you usually get a little bit of a drop-off for the first year at least. I guess you're a little bit worried about that too.
We can't manage it based on that. We just have to work harder to try and capture as many people as possible. The drop-off we've had, surprisingly, is in the open. And we've had an uplift in the intermediate and restricted, as you would expect. So we're trying to encourage that group, which are our future open players, to come in and enjoy the occasion. You could argue that stay at the Mount would have the same potential risk factor. You get a drop-off. And the mount was not an option because the dates we had suddenly were booked by somebody else. So we were given Hobson's choice, basically.
Did you have very many dates to choose from in Palmy?
We don't. We've got to look at our calendar. We've got to look at the ABF calendar. That was the best window for us.
Okay, well, why don't we move on to the regional championships? How's that all going, Alan?
Let's understand why we decided to run it face-to-face. Basically, New Zealand Bridge has a number of events under its auspices. So we have Congress, we have what were known as the seven regional events, we'll call seven national events, and we had the interprovincials. Now, historically, going back some time, the interprovincials were part of Congress, and that change was made years ago, and we ran it as a separate event. It lost, over those recent years, lost a bit of its luster, and we wanted to resurrect the importance of the event. We decided to move away from the title of interprovincial because we've only got seven regions, and hence where the title, the regional championships, came about. We thought that by running it in person that we would be able to promote it, we might get sponsorship for it, and we could use it as a lever in terms of future promotions out into the broader community about the game, just like other sports. So that was the premise behind moving to face-to-face, and we allowed then the regions to run their trials in May for the selection of their squads. So that's why we went to face-to-face. What is extremely disappointing in terms of the trials is the lack of support by senior players around the country. To be honest, the trials were disappointing from a lack of senior participation and quality. Now, you could say, well, the regions could select their squads. For many, many players, representing your region is probably the highlight of your bridge career. Most of us will never, ever be international players, and you get a lot of personal satisfaction out of reaching and representing your region. Why the senior players have stayed away, I don't know. Some of it might be cost. Some of it might be that we've got an international commitment in Buenos Aires, but this event takes place in November post Buenos Aires. It is what it is. It raises a very large question, what do we do in the future?
It's nothing new though, Alan. I think the number of players trialling in the last few years have probably been a bit disappointing. It probably isn't just this year.
Yeah, the last few years, very difficult to judge because of COVID and everything else and running it online and those sorts of things. There's no magic bullet to this thing. And then there's the issue of the cost of running it. A lot of the regions are now applying for grants, charity and other areas to help support their teams going. Some regions are not sending six-person teams, they're only sending a four-person team, just part of cost management.
Right.
Like at Obeys, the region decided that they got less than five tables. They weren't going to run a trial for any of the events.
Yeah.
They never got five tables in any of the categories, so ended up selecting for the whole lot. It's interesting because I think the region talked to a lot of the clubs and asked them what they wanted to do, and they all said, we want trials. And they said, okay, well, we'll run trials. You need to plan them.
Yeah.
They ended up selecting. We probably ended up with some pretty good teams, you know. At the risk of sounding like a Warriors supporter, Alan, this could be our year.
It could be your year. It could be the Waz. Interestingly, if I look at Auckland Northland, that's where I trialled. The quality of the open field was very questionable, with a lot of the open players not participating. The women's had two pairs, really disappointing. The seniors was, can't remember how many pairs, nine, reasonable quality. And the intermediate had about 14. Go down the country, you didn't do anything. Right around the country. It was really disappointing. So you raise the question, do the players want it? Do the players value it?
Doesn't seem that way, does it?
No. and they're expensive events to run.
Do you think it might have been different if the finals were going to be played online?
Personally, no. It's interesting if you look at the online options for that the clubs have been given in terms of their events. So far, we've had not one application to shift from face-to-face to online in those weekends. And the numbers are on face-to-face are very good. I think Kaikoura had 40 tables last weekend. I'd stand to be corrected on that. Te Aroha coming up after the weekend after King's birthday weekend. I know Richard was a bit concerned about online events interfering in that, but he's got about 30 teams so far. It's good. It's getting back. People want to interact, socialise.
Yes, I don't know what the answer is.
Look, we were in Bangkok last week. Went for a two-day seminar sponsored by the WBF, and the next day attended the APBBF zonal meeting. Online is a worldwide issue. It's not a New Zealand issue in that respect. I have accepted that online is part of Bridge going forward. It's how we use it and utilise it. Pre-COVID, the membership of the affiliated to the WBF was 584,000 players. Some of those numbers, I'm not satisfied that they are a full reflection of the full membership in certain countries. I think some of them are understated, but 584,000. Post-COVID, 460,000. So some of the big MBOs have lost a lot of members and they're challenged with rebuilding the game. Online is an offering. It is not a solution.
Yeah.
So just looking at those entries for the trials, one thing that really struck me was when you consider that there are more women playing the game than men, the entries for the women's trials in particular were, did I say, abysmal? This year, they were pretty bad.
They were shocking. Yeah.
The women seemed to be worse than anything else.
It's an interesting phenomena because I know the WBF are very focused on trying to grow women because they represent probably 80% of general membership around the world and grow youth. And they're looking at a broad range of initiatives. Unfortunately, that is not dealing with the grassroots problem, okay? Most people play this game for social reasons and for fellowship and not around the competitive side. So what the WBF are doing is around competitive bridge, and that's good. I really support that. The majority of people playing who play for social and fellowship reasons who don't want to play competitively, the bulk being women, aren't coming in to play competition bridge. Mixed is the growth area. Without doubt. So I don't know the answers. I really don't know the answers to the problem. Yeah, the women trials were very disappointing. The number of people putting up their hands, maybe because they're not playing many tournaments together. I don't know what the problem is.
Look, no idea is what's going to happen next year with the regional championship, whether they'll run a similar sort of format or haven't really gone that far.
Oh, no, we haven't got that far. We'll get through this year and then reassess what we're going to do. But you'd have to say, unless the players are going to get behind it, you'd have to have some question marks.
Like you say, it's an expensive exercise, isn't it, if people aren't getting behind it?
Yeah, if we fully funded the regional championships, if we fully funded, which we're not, for a 2.5-day event on a fully funded basis was about $63,000.
That's not including airfares and accommodation for all the players.
Yep. It includes a contribution towards airfares.
Okay.
I mean, it's a lot of players to get there and accommodate.
We had to cut the cloth accordingly in terms of how much we were prepared to fund. And it's still an expensive exercise. So you'd have to question what shape it might take in 2025. I'm not going to go into that space until we've got through this year's event.
True. You might end up running it every 2 years. Who would know?
I don't know. It's a good question. Don't know the answer to that.
Now, I just want to head back. You were mentioning about the online bridge weekends that you haven't had one application to change it from face-to-face to online.
Yeah.
I believe I'm correct in saying that if you weren't hosting an event on those particular weekends, you couldn't apply to have it moved to online. Is that correct?
Because Yeah, correct, because it's not in the tournament schedule.
Well, I've got my Hamilton hat on. In all of those weekends that were available, we never got one opportunity to host an event online. And
okay.
we were smarting from that. We
Yeah.
thought that we might get a chance to have an opportunity to host one, but we never got one. Was there consideration that there was an opportunity for all clubs, or you just selected weekends?
We just selected weekends.
Right.
A, because the process was delayed and people needed to know what was going to happen. No, not for all clubs. And the majority of clubs have said, no, we don't want online anyway.
We can put our hand up and say we would have liked to have had one, the opportunity to have this one. And of course, it's a team's event. We were hopeful that it was going to hit one of the weekends. It
So,
didn't.
sorry about that. I understand it. It is what it is.
It's a little random as to whether you happen to be on one of those
Yeah, it
weekends.
is. It is.
So is there going to be more? You said that because it was taking time. What's going to happen next year? Are you going to be ready to outlay? Are the ones that missed out this year going to be able to host it next year, given that we're already sort of putting our calendar dates in?
Yeah, I don't know the answer, being honest with you, for 2025. Rona is trying to build the 2025 calendar in terms of what that looks like and our ability to consult. And we're probably, I know it's not probably, we are late in the process of doing that. So do we still continue and play with 2025? Look, we might be too far down the track. I don't know the answer. We'll talk about it when the board meets on Wednesday, this Wednesday.
Because one of the things that Hamilton was talking about was that if these weekends were going to remain the same, we would like an opportunity to change one of our tournaments into that weekend.
I don't think the weekends would remain the same.
Okay, all right.
I don't know what the answers are. Most clubs don't want to do it. That's fine. Most clubs are concerned that if there is an online at the same time, will their numbers be impacted? Maybe we should be just thinking about major events where people travel. The majority of the 5A, 3A, 8B events are designed around the local community, the local club. And maybe it's the bigger events where people travel that we need to think about in terms of being able to consider a different delivery mechanism. We've said for the national events, we would like at least half of them played face to face as an option. So I think we've just got to have a real think about it. And quite frankly, it's probably the larger events that the 10A, 15A, 20A events that we need to put a focus and not erode the 5A events for clubs.
I guess logistical nightmare to give clubs the opportunity if they want to run face to face and they're on one of the online weekends, they want to move out of that weekend into another one so they're not in competition with an online
Yeah, and we've said
event.
there's no swapping. Too difficult to manage. And actually, last year when we gave the clubs the option to opt in or opt out, nobody took those alternative weekend option up. And it's very, very difficult to manage. It's just a logistical nightmare. So I don't know the answer, guys. I wish I did, but I don't.
We had a great conversation with Alan, and next week we'll share the remaining of our chat with Alan Morris, Chair of NZ Bridge.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Oh, happy birthday, Judge Julie. You're over 200.
I'm glad you're so cheerful. You are at least 100 years older.
100 weeks old, I guess.
Okay, Judge, I have got a question. You know how scary those directors are when they arrive at the table. They frighten the living daylights out of some players. So one of our listeners had it happen at their table where somebody had let out a turn. So they did the right thing, called the director. The director came over, was a really scary one. So scary, really flustered, and they led something else out of turn. So now they had two cards on the table.
I would really, really like to point out here that it's like your community policeman. We are your friend. That is why we are there. And I know when you're sitting there and you do something, and the next minute someone yells director, that you think, oh my God, help, what am I meant to do? But deep breath, relax. The director is there to apply the laws, and they aren't biased. So So this is good for you as well as it is for the opponents. No one is picking on you. And it's really important. We're there to help people, but we're also there to see that the laws are obeyed. And I have people that just won't call the director. And I keep saying, the person that knows what should happen here is the person you should be calling. Because that way you will get the right information, you will know for the future. Often when we're sitting at the table and someone who's a bit flustered or intimidated and they make a mistake, if you go to say they've made a mistake, they go to correct it and they compound the issue. So it is a difficult thing to find that very fine line between calling and explaining and things still going the way that they should. If you're at the table, just say, please wait, I'm going to call the director, don't do anything, and the director's going to come and let us know what we should do.
Yeah.
All right? So that's possibly one of the better ways of dealing with it. Then you've let out a turn. Well, there's just a whole raft of stuff, and all it is doing is just trying to put things back to the way they should be. The laws are built around equity. That is just simply trying to get things back to the position they should be, where the offending side don't get an undue advantage. Now, we had a situation recently where declare or dummy, we're not sure, called the director because the bidding cards had been put away and they had let out a turn.
Okay,
because you're entitled to see the auction until everyone has played to the first trick. The declarer, that is when they call a card for dummy, but for the defenders, it's when they've played. Then the slip gets turned over and you have to remember. As we've had before, you're always allowed to remember the auction. In this case, though, the person who led out of turn was a member of the declaring side, so there wasn't a lot that was going to happen that was good.
That's a goodie.
So remember who's the clearer. So what happens with the lead out turn? First of all, the clearer or whomever can accept it. And if they accept it, then they can choose to put their hand down as dummy, get partners to play the hand, which an amazing number of people do. Or you can get dummy to go down and then you play to the trick after you have seen dummy. That's the first thing. If you don't want to accept the lead, then you can demand the lead of the suit that was led incorrectly from the correct player, or you can forbid the lead of that suit. And then the person that led out of turn will pick up their card.
Okay.
Right? And the last thing is that you cannot accept it and just say to the person who would have led, lead what you like, in which case the person who made the lead out of turn, their card will stay face up on the table to be played at the first legal opportunity. Now, the problem with the lead out of turn is that there are about five steps we're going to go through in a very short time. It's actually one of the ones that would be nice if there was something publicised every now and then in a newsletter, because it is one of the more complex rulings that we get for something simple that has gone wrong. I will tell you that no matter what you do, someone better than you, a lot better than you, will have done it before, and in some cases, quite substantially more spectacular. We had the clearer in the New Zealand team's final. Apparently one year, the clearer led out of turn, and the next person who was a defender put their hand down his dummy.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh is a really good word for it. I don't know what happened. All right, it could be urban myth. I don't know, but believe me, no matter what you do, someone else has done better than that, and they will be a far better player than you are.
Wow.
That is done. So don't be embarrassed. Calling the director is just simply about getting good information, getting to make good choices, and doing the right thing.
So we'll see you on the weekend at the Auckland Congress.
You will indeed. I'll be there Sunday, Monday. Patrick will be there as usual, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Bye.
Boy, we've got a lot of content to get through this week. It's cold back in NZ, Barry.
We still have to talk about Hong Kong, though, before we go any further. Murriana's fresh back off the boat from Hong Kong. Well, maybe not a boat, but anyway, back from Hong Kong. And you did manage to get a session of bridge in there on Wednesday?
I did. It was quite interesting. So I went up to the Ladies Recreational Centre. It's a very posh outfit. It's like a big members club. They've got swimming pools and tennis courts, spas, everything, and a beautiful restaurant. So I stayed and had lunch. But yes, we played Chicago Bridge.
How did you do?
Got second.
Oh, very good. Did you get anything for second?
No, nothing. Okay. Anyway, Chicago Bridge is, so you pair up with a person and you play four rounds. It's played like rubber bridge, so you deal your hands. The first round, everybody is non-vulnerable. The second round, the dealer is vulnerable. Then the next dealer is vulnerable. And then on the fourth round, everybody's vulnerable. It's quite good. So you just add up your cumulative scores and write it on a piece of paper and move to the next table.
What happens at the next table? Do you swap partners or not?
Yeah, you definitely do. So before you move, you spread the cards out and you draw. And the losers stay put. And the winners are the movers. So you pick a card out and you're either got a high card or a low card. So you become the high winner or the low winner. And when you go to your next table, you pair up with the high loser, the low loser. And then you just play again and it all goes around again. It was quite funny because we had to wait for one person to turn up. So people were jumping around playing dummy for the fourth table. And I was thinking, why are they doing that? But of course they can do it because it's not duplicate.
Yep,
all the hands are different. Yeah. It was quite fun. But one of the chaps, he got all flustered having so many points and they ended up in three diamonds making seven.
Oh, no.
he couldn't quite figure out what to do, so he said, I'll bugger it and pass. But how often does that happen at the table? Some people do that. I don't really know what to do with this hand, so I'm just going to pass. Really liked it.
You were going to go to the races the same day.
We did. We went to Happy Valley Races. And yes, we did win some money off one of the tips that you gave us. Go, go, go. Yep, came in second. Thank you very much for your tips. However, I did actually win more money than you gave me on your tips when I backed the jockeys at Wall Purple.
Of course.
Of course. It was a great day.
Big bridge weekend coming up with Hawke's Bay and Auckland both holding their congresses.
Yes. Numbers are looking good.
So you're heading off to Auckland?
I am for the entire weekend. Are you prepared for your tip for the week?
I know I'm not prepared, but I've got one.
Yeah?
Don't get COVID before a bridge congress.
You're feeling a bit poorly.
Oh, well, be over by Friday.
Fingers crossed. Because you're heading up to Auckland too, aren't you?
I'm only playing the pairs.
Well, there you go. Don't go on jury service, people, because when you get called up, you get COVID.
I don't know whether that's where I got it from. Maybe I got it from the Bridge Club the day before.
Oh, and if you're wondering, Peter Hollins continues next week with number 4 in his list of misused conventions.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.